Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face.
That's fucking good shit right there.
You can't see more because there is none more.
What is there more of?
Episode, I'm not really sure, of the Who Goes Your Podcast. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
Shoo! What's up, fellers?
Well, you know, we had a nice chat on the pre-show. If you're interested in hearing the pre-show, you can join patreon.com/ Who Goes Their Podcast. Is that how it goes?
Yeah.
It's been a while. You do it. No. patreon.com/ Who Goes Their Podcast.
He stopped me before I could.
Okay. Yes. And then what else do you get? What else do you get, Jacob, with the Patreon?
Oh, you're going to get once
Cal you're going to get it, bitch.
Once he gets these nice little prints done, he's got something cooking for us.
It's very special. It's very timely.
A little thank you card. Once we get those ready, printed out.
It's going to be Christmas for this year.
Hell yeah. I know. I literally have everything else. No pressure on Cal because he is fucking turning out some awesome artwork. But once he gets this thank you card done, I have everything ready to go. It's all going to be shipped out immediately. So, yeah. And we're going to get some little goodies, you know, it's all tiered base. So depending on what tier you'll get certain stuff. And, yeah.
It's like a caste system, right?
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to do away with birthright citizenship so we can have a permanent caste system.
Yep.
The best part is one of the items for Hans is a Who Goes There calendar.
Okay.
And by the time he gets it, it's fucking 5 months into the year. It's pretty good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
You also get the episodes early. Access to the Discord. And speaking of,
I'm not going to do a thing.
Yeah. Speaking of Patreon members, welcome to Ryan, new Patreon member.
Is this who requested me on Facebook recently?
Yeah, same here.
Yes.
Approve him.
He's a good.
Okay.
I will approve him. I'll approve him now.
He's come a long way. He's not going to. Unless he relapses. If he relapses, you're in trouble.
Immediately block him.
He'll love that.
We're going to see a video of him being like, man, I hate that I hate cops.
Yeah. He's going to be like, oh my God. I can't believe this. No, but I have to say that a few hundred times and it'll stick.
Just get it out.
But the thing, Ryan, don't be upset. Because I'm not using last names or anything. So if your anonymity is not blown. There's a lot of fucking Ryans. You're okay. But welcome. Awesome. Yeah. Also welcome.
We also have a mutual. My buddy Hez used to be a bartender at Cherry Bomb. So I'm wondering if I've run
not
into...
The one, not, the one, short not the one. Not the one. Not the one.
Hezbollah? Is that...
No,
he's not the other one, is he?
No, the homie Hezekiah. No, he doesn't bartend there anymore. But I'm just curious.
He's on the other team.
He's not the dude with the CSAM, is he?
Huh? Oh, what?
The one who got arrested?
No. That's a different regular.
Oh, okay.
No. That's the homie Ben, and okay. He ain't homie anymore. That's for sure.
Why?
Fuck that guy. Okay. Oh, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. No, seriously. This guy used to be.
You pissed off Jacob. That's very difficult to do.
This is good, man. You're opening up.
I was a regular. I was a regular at Cherry Bomb.
Is there booze in there? Maybe. Drink that shit, dude.
Do that shit.
It's been a month, you know. No, the homie Ben. No, he's not a homie. I can't stop saying that shit. No, the friend right. Fucking. Yeah. Not a friend. Ben. It's fucking hard, man, because this guy I used to consider a friend, and then he disappeared off the fucking face of the earth. And I'm like, what happened to this guy? He was a regular Cherry Bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
When I used to have my own podcast, The Horror Hijacked.
And yeah.
I did some of his movie recommendations and reviewed them and everything. That's when I used to go there, I used to look forward to talking to him about horror movies. Anyway, disappeared off the face of the earth for like the last two, 3 years. Turns out he's in fucking jail for a bunch of CP. And, like... terabytes of it.
You had texted
hard drive, CDs, everything.
CDs nuts, am I right?
Yeah, it's crazy that all it took was a Google search of his name and you see it, but why would I ever go out of my way to do that? I just like, oh, he's gone. You know, he kind of disappears every once in a while. He's got health issues.
You're all the homie. No.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, he was someone I considered a good friend, and then but that's just at the bar, and it's crazy to think that outside of that is a completely different person.
Movie recommendations, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's a thing where it's, you know, a person can be two things, right?
Right.
Like Michael Jackson. Right? But really good at the moonwalk. Like, he's really good at dancing and the other stuff.
The other
stuff. Doesn't take away from the dancing.
Mm. It kind of does.
It does. However, before you knew about it, the dancing was fantastic. The dancing was fantastic. No one had ever seen anything like
Michael Jackson, great guy.
And then that movie's coming out. That
it looks like out, ass.
Antoine Fuqua's.
It looks disastrous.
What's it called? Is it literally just called
Michael?
Michael, dude.
Damn. But I do
and
like.
They showed the best part of the trailer is when they show the CGI fucking chimp. I'm like, they fucking showed Bubbles. Like, they have to show Bubbles CGI in the fucking trailer. Like, this is trash.
I do think the I like the casting for fucking what's the dad's name?
Randy?
Randy Jackson?
No, that's one of the brothers.
That's a what is
Joe? It? Joe Jackson.
He beat the shit out of those. Yeah, kids.
Who's playing the fucking Domingo? What's his name?
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
Coleman Domingo.
Yeah, dude.
Coleman
Domingo. It's actually pretty good.
Remember the original? Like, I think it was a Fox series. It was about the Jackson 5. The kids and the actor they played Joe literally looked like Satan, and I was like, "Damn, dude, you fucking."
I don't remember they look like Satan. That's cool though.
That is cool.
I hadn't thought about that show in a long time. It was on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Generation X show that was on Fox?
Yes,
that's crazy, man. You just jogged my memory.
Whoa!
And they debuted Michael Jackson videos on Fox. Like, remember the time? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You remember the?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good. Back to you, Jacob.
What about me? Want to get into what we've been watching?
Are we going to get into it? We've covered all of the geopolitical events on the
Patreon. Yeah, if you want to hear our opinions on that, hit the Patreon.
Well, I know last episode was pretty packed. I actually didn't have a chance to go through any of the movies I watched. So.
Oh, you didn't?
I kind of have a backlog, but I'm not going to go over all of them. But
I felt really fucking bad about that, by the way. So I'm really going to tone it down. It had been like 2 months. No, because it's stupid. Stupid, man.
Yeah, it's good. We watched a lot of movies.
His face is like, oh, yes, he knows it's fucking stupid. After like 10 years, he knows he's fucking dumb as hell.
I watched, obviously.
10, motherfucker, more like 25.
I bit the show.
Oh. Yeah.
There were some movies that I don't even need to talk about. They're just like rewatches. That my quote-unquote little comfort movies, like. Mm-hmm. Spotlight.
It's a good 2026.
And Tenet and Furiosa.
Even
though Furiosa.
Why is Furiosa a comfort movie?
No, it's really not. That movie, I'm just like, I want to give it a chance every time. And I'm like, this movie is like a seesaw of like total greatness narratively. And then visually, it's just complete ass, you know?
It is very mythic.
Yeah.
It's like mythic.
You are right on that part.
There's just moments, because I'm just like, they CGI Anya Taylor-Joy's face to slowly be closer to. Charlize Theron, like they purposely did that, so like her face kind of morphs over time. It freaks me out.
That's a mistake.
Yeah, I finally saw September 5.
Ooh,
you told me about it, and that's my jam. It's very procedural. It's the shit about the Munich Olympics situation, but from the perspective of the news team
that was covering it for the first time, all analog.
Yeah, I like the stakes are high, the dialogue's intense. I'm just like. Oh, what's gonna happen? You know, like I like it when the dialogue plays up the stakes and stuff, and it's I don't know, it's way more just like emotionally charged and in a very like weird niche way because of the POV of it being from like a random news station.
Yeah, well, it was. I figure you'd appreciate that.
I really did
because it's for like the film medium. It's a really good. Premise and topic.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And the way it was shot, like you said, like there's a lot of cool, like just like analog porn. You know what I mean? Like
absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. It was cool.
Because it brings up all these questions too. They've never had the technology to cover this shit in real time before. So what is this? what do we cover and what don't we, right? When are we helping the terrorists, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But, I saw this HBO documentary called Architecton, and it's an A24 documentary, and it's kind of like Koyaanisqatsi. It's just like straight up just visuals over music, you know? And I don't know how to describe it, so I'm just going to read the synopsis here. A visually stunning and nearly wordless documentary that explores humanity's relationship with stone and concrete, questioning the sustainability of modern construction.
Ooh, I had read about that,
through
dude.
Epic imagery and ancient ruins. It's good. It doesn't have that Philip Glass score to at all carry the movie. The score is like way more
I'm glad.
Chill.
If they had tried that, it would have been too obvious. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So, but that, I mean, you know, I took some edibles when I watched it, but like it was like a fucking crazy. Like, I'm like watching these slow mo, like 3 minute drawn out sequence of like TNT exploding like slabs of concrete, and I'm like, this is art, you know, this is cinema. So that was Architecton. I watched a little movie. I saw a clip of it, shared it with you, and you're like, this is a great movie. I watched Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. That movie is great. Fucking Ethan Hawke and Philip Seymour Hoffman as brothers.
I think that's the last film of, who's the director?
It was.
Sidney Lumet.
Yeah, Lumet, yeah.
Or Lumet, yeah.
Yeah, that was his last movie. Oh, my gosh, it was so great. It's a jewelry heist gone wrong. These two brothers that are just like, you know, they need some money. They're just a little, you
Philip
know.
Seymour Hoffman, Ethan Hawke,
Marissa
Tomei.
Yeah. Crazy.
What? Yeah. Take that shit out.
I would never. You lay in your bed.
The premise, I'm going to get into a little, like, you know, act one spoiler territory. But like, yeah, they do pull off a jewelry heist. And because it's kind of a non-linear narrative, you realize they're pulling a jewelry heist on their own parents or grandparents' jewelry store.
Yeah, and it goes
wrong. Way sideways. And one of their parents gets fucking shot. And they're just trying to deal with the fucking aftermath of that shit. Great movie. I love dialogue heavy stuff like that. And also saw a little movie called Hard Boiled in theaters when they brought it back. They're bringing back some classic John Woo movies. So The Killer, Hard Boiled, I think with Long Arm of the Law, I think 1 and 2 they brought back to theaters. They're
Broken Arrow.
Yeah, I know, right? That would be dope to see in theaters.
Jorge would see Broken Arrow in theaters.
Yeah, I would. Hard Boiled is in my like top 5, if not top 3, favorite action movies of all time. It's, I mean, that movie is goofy as fuck, but I just think it's a actual like spectacle of stunts and just choreography, like the stunt choreography. You have just stuntmen on fire, on strings, and, you know, jumping when motorcycles getting blasted. Like, John Woo is known for having the greatest shotgun blasts and like known to man, where his shotguns are just complete cannons that blow apart whole doors, you know. Mm-hmm. And Hard Boiled in theaters was just mind-blowing, man. And I loved all, like, the, you know, it's one of my favorite movies ever, of action movies. So seeing it in theaters with all the crazy neo-noir jazz moments that are just completely out of place, and Detective Tequila by Chow Yun-Fat
with his matches,
yeah, right? It's too much
or
fun,
not
man.
I know, with his toothpick. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't it toothpick?
Yeah, it's toothpick, yeah.
And it's in the hospital with the babies and everything.
It's so good, man. Like, so many action video games, like, would not exist if it wasn't for Hard Boiled, you know? You know, Matrix probably wouldn't have had the flair that it had if it wasn't for Hard Boiled, you know? It's one of the earliest movies to use, like, slow-mo, you know, which it was really shitty and choppy at the time. It wasn't real, like, slow-mo as we know it now. But, I don't know, it's just such an impressive movie. It's a Cirque du Soleil action movie, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, like, a body count of, I think, like, fucking, like, 300 people.
It gets a bit like The Raid. Yeah. Like, once it gets confined to the hospital.
The hospital, yeah. It's nonstop. They had, like, what was the first time I ever recognized a
Way before The Raid, obviously.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was called a Oneer, but I remember there was an action sequence in the hospital. It's all one shot, and it blew me away.
Yeah.
I saw a little Canadian comedy, indie comedy, called Nirvana, the band, the movie, or the show, dude, the movie.
I've been wanting to see
Instantly that. Became a fan. I didn't know anything about the show. I watched a little YouTube video to kind of understand the pop culture behind it. Mm-hmm. And its impact, and then I saw the movie, And it's one of the best times I've had so far this year in theaters. It's such a feel-good, hilarious little indie comedy based off a show called Nirvana, the Band, the Show. This is Nirvana, the Band, the Show, the movie. And yeah, every episode of the show kind of takes like a movie or show and does like pop culture references and kind of rips it off and makes an episode around it. But the whole premise of the show and the movie since the beginning, since like the early 2000s when the show started as a web series, is these two guys with a band called Nirvana, the Band. They're just trying to score a show, a gig at this venue called the Rivoli. It's a real venue in Canada. And every episode is them trying to land a gig there, and they just fail miserably every time. And even the movie, decades later, it's the premise is them trying to get score a gig there. And
so it's this circular thing.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so great. And apparently, like, the fans are just, like, there's, like, diehard fans of this show. And that was one of the best comedies I've seen in a minute, man. It was a really good time. I highly recommend it because in this movie, because every episode of the show kind of references a movie or something, this movie is about Back to the Future. That's kind of the premise. So it's a time travel thing going on. So, yeah, that was fun. And then
we talked. Since you went in cold to it and you hadn't seen this stuff previously.
Yeah.
Excuse me. The comedy and stuff, like the verve of it is entertaining in and of itself without knowing anything.
Okay. It's funny. Just knowing the premise, like that's the whole shtick is them trying to score a gig. It's fucking awesome. You can go in completely blind and it made me a fan and I've already seen like the first two seasons of the show.
Damn.
Yeah. And then I watched a little thing called Punishment Park from 1971.
I have heard of this
film. Directed by Peter Watkins. He's a British documentarian and director. He's been nominated for an Oscar for this documentary. No, it's like he likes to do movies that are played out like the faux documentaries and stuff.
Right.
But they're very politically charged. He did one that's similar to Threads. I forgot what it was called. I think it's called War. No, not War Games. It might have been.
If you haven't seen Threads, it's a great film to watch right now.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So he made this mockumentary called Punishment Park, and that shit fucking blew me away that I wrote a letter. I typed up an email letter to the Academy of Motion Arts and Pictures, the Oscars, to make sure this fucking dude, because he died last year, that he would be honored in the in memoriam. Because this movie like blew my fucking mind. He made this movie called Punishment Park in response to the Kent State incident. And this
well, that's movie, no big deal anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with that? They shouldn't have been there. If they weren't there, that wouldn't have happened if they had stayed home.
if they weren't dressed all sexy.
Like, if you hadn't existed in space and time at that place.
So
go on, sorry.
No, it's good. This movie is in this like dystopian kind of future where basically all these people, which are political dissidents, like anti-war activists and stuff, they're given this choice, prison or a 3-day desert endurance test in this place called Punishment Park, where you have 3 days to travel. I think it was like, I don't know how many miles, like 10, 50 miles. I don't know, something insane. While the police, they give you like a couple hours heads up and then the police chase you down. It's like the
long walk.
But it's very long walkish.
Yeah.
And the other option is like this crazy kangaroo court where you have all these like military officials. And what's crazy is the it kind of goes into like the Stanford Prison Experiment in the filming of the movie, because you have real activists playing activists and you have real cops playing cops.
Oh, so the roles.
And then you also have activists role playing as cops too.
Yeah.
So in the filming of it, it feels super fucking authentic. People are almost playing themselves.
So it's like Christine Ohm cosplaying that she's like a cowboy while her husband has huge tits.
Big fat, big titted head. Yeah, exactly. This movie fucking blew me away. It was so disturbing and really like prophetic about the authoritarianism and everything. And at the time, it was very criticized because he was a British director. And he's like, oh, this guy doesn't know anything about American politics. He was kind of blacklisted from Hollywood. Because his Oscar nom, I think, was from a previous movie. But, yeah, he...
ooh, look at this.
This movie is dope. You can get, like, a 1080p 4K quality on YouTube for free. Just type in Punishment Park. Yeah, this movie was insanely timely. It blew me away, man. And the last movie I saw was recently in theaters with Courtney. We saw... This is more of a Courtney movie, but I really enjoyed it. It's called Forbidden Fruit.
Oh,
it's kind of like a
one
new
of our other listeners that talked about that on Discord. Yeah, briefly.
NoCal Mike and I, we talked about it. It's like for people, it's like produced by Diablo Cody, so it's like Jennifer's Body kind of crowd. You know, this is a very when I watched, it, I was like, this
so
is,
woke.
Yeah, no, it's very Mean Girls, but horror version. You know, it's like the new gen of like Jennifer's Body, but it's about these
it's like Juno.
Yeah, it's got like that indie hipster thing going on, but it's
like no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it's got the it's a total like really like razor sharp satire on like retail culture and capitalism, but it's all like wrapped up in like this the story like a coven of witches that work at a fucking retail store.
So it's like The Craft.
So it's like Empire Records. That's a big stretch.
So it's like Mallrats.
Yeah. So it's like Dawn of the Dead.
It had the Mallrats feel, like, because Courtney and I are like literally like fucking Mallrats, and we always hang out at the mall. It's not so much like exploring all the mall, but they work at this retail store, and their names are based off different fruits that represent the seasons of retail, and they fucking have a newcomer, and the whole like humor and everything, it's
they're different fruits that represent the different seasons of retail.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking out there. It's really very like niche humor, but like Courtney and I, as being like mall rats, we like fucking laughed our asses. I was, even though this movie is not at all for my audience, it's like an all like girls kind of chick flick comedy thing. Yep. I was laughing harder than anyone in that theater. I thought it was really interesting, and it gets pretty dark and gory at the end and has a huge tonal shift. I think it was pretty well made and directed for, like, I don't know if it was like Eddington, first time. Dude. Yeah, this is Eddington. Oh, fuck. I was so surprised by it, and it's got some pretty impressive performances from two of the leads, and for a very young cast, and yeah, you know, it's not at all for me, you know, and I'm definitely not part of the demographic it's aimed for, but surprisingly, I had a really good time with it.
It was palatable.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you see Hoppers?
I did it. I still got to see Hoppers, and I still got to see Project Hail Mary.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna go quick. Hoppers and Project Hoppers was a fucking blast. It's adorable.
I heard it's funny as hell.
This little Tom Lizard guy. It's the funniest and best original Pixar movie in a while.
Yeah,
I think Inside Out 2 is good. I think like the sequels have generally been good. Yeah. But like it's the best one for Pixar that I've seen as an original one since Coco.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw the fucking premise a few months ago, and given their track record recently, I was like, this does not look good. But
it didn't. I wasn't sold in the trailer at all.
No, it leans into the sci-fi tropes, into the body hopping, and it leans into even so a little bit of horror tropes, and it's super, super funny and great, and the ethos is fucking great. But Project Hail Mary, you haven't seen that yet?
No.
Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
Dude, That shit delivered, dude.
Yeah, I think that movie is such a hit. I think they're because I missed it in IMAX, and I'm like, I want my first viewing to be IMAX. I truly believe that they're gonna bring it back to IMAX,
probably,
and then I'm gonna watch it then.
Yeah, I mean, just to go quickly about, obviously, it's the guy who wrote Andy Weir, the guy who wrote The Martian, and this is Phil Lord and Chris. It's a
movie
Miller.
I kind of like.
Jorge kind of likes that one.
You're a huge fan of the
this one. Is not as hard sci-fi as that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
It's more what I would call hope core, and we need that right now. We need that right now. That sounds
That's also very, very, very much how the book is too. The book is, it's got some hard science-y shit, but it's like,
you've read Project Hail Mary?
Dude, I listen to that every night when I go to bed.
Oh,
every fucking night.
What did it come out, like 2021?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Do you like it more than The Martian?
It's more fun.
Yeah, Martian's more science-y.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Phil Lord, Chris Miller, like, again, when this trailer started popping up a few months ago, you know, even with the pedigree, I wasn't like, oh, wow. And I should have known better. Like, these are the guys who did Into the Spider-Verse, Across the Spider-Verse.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. But I think they've always been great at like, oh, we're going to reboot 21 Jump Street, which on paper it sounds like a shitty idea.
Dude, their humor is awesome.
And they made something great out of it. And then it's like, oh, we're going to do a Lego. They're going to make a Lego movie. So it's like, this is going to be shitty. And it's like, no, we're going to make it great.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, this is probably their best film, in my opinion. Well, Across the Spider-Verse, Into the Spider-Verse are revolutionary animated features, so yeah, yeah. I don't know if I could say that, but...
But live action, this is probably their best work.
Yeah, and I know it's fucking... It's a perfect pairing to me of filmmaker and writer, and I believe he adapted his own book. It's 2.5 hours. And
which is great.
It needed to be. Yeah. It has a story to tell, and fucking what the execution with Rocky and this whole thing, the alien character, mm-hmm. it's just like Arrival, except fucking adorable and makes you cry like 4 times. You know, awesome. They have to devise their own language.
Do they do the timey-wimey thing?
With the structure?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
they wonderful. Do that.
Wonderful.
And Ryan Gosling is a fucking perfect role for him. It's just a perfect fucking role for him.
Okay. Really? That's awesome.
And I know, again, like, I don't want to build it up too much. It's a huge hit already. By the time people hear this, people are going to be more sick of hearing how good it is. But I loved it. So did Sophia.
That's awesome.
And,
Yeah, and I was already, like, my interest was kind of peaked when I found out the directors. But then when I found out who did the cinematography,
oh yeah,
Greg Fraser, who did all the Dune movies and stuff.
A lot of great practical effects work in this.
And now I'm seeing all the behind the scenes, and I'm like, dude, they did so much practical shit. It's really cool.
Yeah, those guys are craftsmen.
Yeah.
I think the director said some dumb shit recently about how that no green screen was used, and it was like the internet fucking on Reddit lit him the fuck up, because we were like, what do you mean you didn't use any green screen?
Well, even a scene though where you would really think was CGI, with the, you know, you've probably seen stills of it with it's all red and it has like the sparkling shimmer effect, mm-hmm. even that was not CGI or green screen, mm-hmm. like reading how that was done, it's so like lo-fi, but it
They see that Interstellar behind the scenes shit, and they're like, "We gotta make sure."
Yeah, we can. And it is tropey, you know. Yeah. There's a lot, of course, inevitably, and it's okay.
Yeah,
you know. So yeah, Hopper's Project Hail Mary, both really fun movies. I would recommend taking Ronnie and the kids to.
Yeah, I think we're gonna see all three things that are in the theater right now.
Yeah, and it does help right now. It does help. Well, Ryan Gosling mentioned something about that in an interview recently, that the majority of sci-fi, and we love our dystopian sci-fi and our pessimistic sci-fi and our fucking... Jorge loves Ad Astra. You know what I mean? he doesn't like that one.
Famously.
No, people listen are like, what the fuck is Ad Astra? No, but dude, like, it's great. It's very refreshing and much needed when you have something hopeful like this that paints a different possible picture, right? Anyway... I got on this kick with Sophia. We watched Lady Hawk. I'd never seen that.
Good flick.
It's some fucking. It is good, despite things that are not
being
good.
Ass.
Yeah, like Matthew Broderick as Mouse is just like, what the fuck is this?
It's something.
Richard Donner shoots the fucking hell out of this movie, like the visuals, and Michelle Pfeiffer's great, and like the story, like them. When he's a wolf, she's human, and when she's a fucking hawk, he's human. Like, that's so video gamey. That's so, like, it's so dope.
Yeah.
And Rutger Hauer's cool.
Wait, that stuff's in this movie?
Yeah.
I thought it was just called Lady Hawk, and it's like an action movie or something.
No, Lady Hawk is the shit, man.
No, it's fucking, and it's weird that I'd never seen that growing up in the 80s. Yeah. Like, that's weird.
That and like Red Sonja are like.
We watched Conan the Barbarian.
Companion pieces, man.
Yeah. Yeah, she had never seen Conan the Barbarian. Speaking of Red Sonja.
Oh, man.
And then that's fun. It's fucking John Milius. It's got the Basil Palladora score. Matt Smith had never seen it and famously shit all over Conan the Barbarian, which makes zero sense from Matt Smith. But, you know. Robin Hood. Prince of Thieves.
Whoa.
When the fuck is the last time you watched that?
It's been probably since I was a child.
I hadn't watched it since the 90s.
That's the Russell Crowe movie.
No.
It is so fucking crazy to watch that now. Like,
there's a
very time capsule movie. But
there's a Robin Hood horror movie coming out soon, right?
It's The Death of Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Directed by A24. The guy
who did Pig.
Yep. Pig and
Well, they're like, what if Robin Hood
was it? What the fucking other
didn't steal from the poor? Three.
And he's doing something else coming up.
And they're talking about him directing the Alien Romulus sequel. And I was like, cool, let him write it too. No, because this is the show to talk about this on. Did you hear about this? Ridley Scott and Fede were supposedly arguing about the direction of the next one because Fede Alvarez wants to bring back David. Which is like, I like David too. David's cool. Make your own fucking movie.
He wants like, David to like quote Prometheus shit, right?
He wants David to say, get away from her, you bitch. You know what I mean? Like, leave, make your own movie, dude. It's crazy, dude.
Yeah, like, I'm with Ridley Scott on that. He's like, get the fuck out of here.
But yeah, and this led us to Excalibur. Okay, dude. This movie is, it's a very, like, it's a cult classic.
Yeah.
The fucking visuals in this movie and the violence and the costumes.
I heard it's, like, one of the dopest, like, sword and board, like, fantasy
movies. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Dame Helen Mirren is in this bitch.
And fucking Patrick Stewart's in this bitch. And it's dope, dude. Like, this movie is so good. Like, I want to get the Blu-ray. I had seen it once before, like, and late. I didn't grow up with it and all that. It's slow and it's a bit of a fever dream, but like even how it's filmed, it has that soft focus.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's very ethereal.
It looks like a porno.
Exactly. And it's very erotic. It's R-rated because of like sex and violence, which is like cool. We need this in a fantasy. It's like, whoa, is this Game of Thrones, dude? No. But also like, look, man, I don't know.
Look at how dope that is.
That mask in the movie, it looks even better. It looks even better. But yeah. Fucking great movie. And then Grizzly Man. I'd never seen this. This is the Werner Herzog documentary, right?
I know all about the case, but I haven't seen the documentary.
Have you ever seen that,
Jorge? I've watched the whole, like, I've listened to the whole clip and everything.
Incredible. And, dude, like, this got me on a Werner Herzog trip again, because I do like that guy, but his filmography of films and documentaries is dense. It's so fucking dense. I rewatched a film of his because I have it. It's Lessons of Darkness, which is going viral right now.
I know, right? What's up with that?
Because of what's going on. I wonder why. And because, I mean...
What's up with that?
It's going viral. I mean, also because it lends itself well to fucking Reels and Instagram. You know what I mean? Lessons of Darkness, it's filmed during the end of Desert Storm, the first Desert Storm. And he's shooting a bunch of different shots of when they had all the oil fields in Kuwait on fire and what it was doing to the environment. But his approach of it is that he's an alien that's not human, and he's watching this unfold, and he's trying to figure out without the context what they're doing. So that's the narration of these apocalyptic fucking images. Mm-hmm. It's just unbelievable and more relevant. Well, not more relevant than ever, but... very relevant, as always, but especially again right now. But the fucking Oscars came and went. I don't want to go deep into that rabbit hole, but you mentioned the In Memoriam. Mm-hmm. We need to mention that I Don't Want Your Life was snubbed. They didn't. James Vanderbeek got no In Memoriam. Jorge, how do you feel about that? You were supposed to give me more, man. Because I know you're a big fan of Varsity Blues.
Never once seen it.
I know. You remember the trailer, though, where he said that, right?
I don't want your laugh. Yeah, I got it.
And what was the other one? It was, it's the same guy who wrote American Psycho.
Warren Ellis?
No. But he did another movie where it was super dark and edgy.
Oh, really?
Yes. Anyway, I watched The Secret Agent and Sentimental Value the night before.
Oh, shit.
And those were really, guess what? They were really good. Really good fucking movies. Not my favorites from last year, but really good. And then after it, there's Mr. Nobody Against Putin, that won Best Documentary. It's about a teacher. It's fucking incredible. Highly recommend it to everybody. A teacher in Russia, when they started invading Ukraine, the propaganda got crazy. And he films his class. It's something he always did. And he was like the filmographer at the school. And because of that, he kind of has free rein to film this entire transition when the school goes from a place of education into just pure indoctrination.
Whoa.
And then once it starts, he starts realizing he's in fucking grave danger. He ends up leaving Russia. And the only reason we have this film and this footage is because he left Russia and is now protected over here. If he ever goes back to Russia, it's going to be problems for him. So that movie, like what he sacrificed to make this fucking movie, and he said it wasn't just for the movie. It's like he said he couldn't live there anymore because it was too heartbreaking. But incredible fucking documentary. And yeah, dude, that shit is crazy what's going on. Because we know, like, they made a documentary already about the Ukraine front. But what's going on in Russia, like, in mm-hmm. small towns, just gives a kind of window to that. Anyway, what did you watch, Jorge?
Oh, my God. Well, we're watching all of the Jurassic Park movies. Ooh. All of them.
Oh. Yeah, I walked in and you guys were in the part one.
Yeah.
You were in the middle of the best one.
Yeah, the Mansion Jurassic World one.
Yeah. The horror adjacent Jurassic World.
That was that's like, it's interesting, right?
It's probably the most like non formulaic one of the trilogy.
They left the island.
Yeah,
and there's and there's a brontosaurus. Like, I remember they're leaving the island. It's like,
it's a brachiosaurus, dude.
What, dude? Why? Mm. And Pluto's not a planet, right? Come on,
man. No, Pluto's a dog, dude.
Dude, I'm a sovereign...
sovereign citizen?
Sovereign citizen, yeah. Dude. And it's a brontosaurus.
I'm conveying myself. I'm not driving right now.
I don't
know
what the consensus
is. Honestly, I haven't seen literally anything, only because we've got a new dog, and she doesn't allow us to do shit in this house.
Indy.
Yeah. She's a bitch.
Real
she's
a quick, teenager. Have now. You seen the newest Jurassic World yet at all?
No, it's on it's in queue. It's on its way. It's in queue.
Oh, did you watch that?
We went to the first 45 minutes, and I said, I can't do it. I got to go.
Oh, that's right. You left.
Yeah.
Courtney and I almost left.
I'm going to be there
especially
soon.
After they that was where they debuted the Odyssey teaser, and I was like, I'm like, I can't fucking do this. Like, I can't believe this. Like, no way, dude.
I did watch Underwater again. That's a fun movie. It's gotten better.
It's grown on me.
Really?
That's well, dude, because cool. I was being more like, the thing, I didn't get it, man. Like, I'm, like, thinking of Hereditary and Annihilation. I'm like, why is he gushing about Underwater? It's like, because, like, I thought he was, like, saying it's his, like it's good. Like it's really fucking good. You're not, that's not what you're saying.
I mean, a little bit.
Yeah, it is dope. Yeah.
No,
he's a, no. What he didn't mean was that it was good. It's fun, but it's not good.
No, it looks.
Nah, man, I enjoy it immensely.
Production design is cool. The edit, like, oh, it's pretty well made.
Especially when fucking Ramen Head gets ganked.
I'm bored at work, and I'm just like, I'm gonna Google Underwater.
See where it's at.
See what it looks like.
Yeah,
I want to look at this Ramen Head again. You know,
it looks good. Yeah, it looks cool good, design. Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Remind
mm-hmm.
me of Ramen Head.
It's Cthulhu.
Is that the monster?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is that? It looks like a monster from Cloverfield. Is that in the Cloverfield?
It's the Cloverfield Paradox sequel, actually.
I don't think I ever saw that one. That was the third one, right? On Netflix.
What?
The Cloverfield Paradox.
Oh yeah, that's the one that came out like right after the Super Bowl.
I think it came out New Year's Eve or something.
No, it's right after the Super Bowl. It was like that's the right, Super Bowl ended, it. And then they put a trailer for it, and then it was like, hey, right. You can watch it right now.
And then it was. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it was ass.
What else?
That's pretty much it, man.
You watched Survivor 50?
No, but we did. We are watching the current season of Shrinking, which is fantastic. That show makes me cry almost every episode.
Really?
It's fucking really good. Are you watching this show? Shrinking?
No. But I've heard it's great. You said it's great. Apple TV is doing a bang up job with their stuff.
Yeah. That show is it makes me like. It makes me like face my daddy trauma head on every fucking episode, and it hurts.
Project Hail Mary is gonna put you into menopause.
I already know the pain.
You're gonna go full menopause.
I already know the pain.
Do you?
I know the pain every night.
Oh, you? Well, that's different, man.
It's worse.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I've been seeing like this viral clip from. I haven't seen it yet. Beef. On Netflix.
Oh yeah,
and it's like Steven Yeun like stress.
You
eating.
Didn't see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I know. I really wanted to, but
dude, it's your family.
The second season is coming out.
Yeah, I know. That's why I really want to watch it. But I keep getting this viral clip of like him like stress eating,
mm-hmm.
and he's like talking and he's all stressed out. And I was like, damn, that's how I feel. And
that
I'm
shit
like, I
was great.
Yeah. I was like, and then I watched the clip and I was like, damn, that's. I need to really see that shit.
Yeah. They've got their work cut out for them. It's a totally different, like season two is totally different people and scenario. I guess Oscar Isaac's in it. A few other people. Can't remember offhand. But they've got their work cut out, like it being as well written as that first one. And acted.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's funny too, dude.
beef. Good old beef.
Good old beef.
And then on the pre-show, we talked about the show Neighbors on HBO Max, which all three of us highly recommend. And it's not a mockumentary. It's real, but it's shot like a mockumentary in a sense. Like, it shows you like the value of editing, but these situations, people, bizarre fucking situations of them fighting over property lines and petty squabbling with one another and just absurdity. Nothing as absurd as real life. And we talked about a little bit about Inside the Manosphere, which is on Netflix. And I think that's it.
All right.
Either of you watching Daredevil Born Again Season 2?
No.
I started that. It's fucking fun so far, honestly.
Okay.
I'm a nerd with this show. It's better than the last season, though, so far.
You said the first season was a little bit rough.
Start off strong.
To it end started so with, fucking right?
strong, and then what they did with Muse like was so dumb. Muse is a serial killer. He's a more recent...
Not like Jason Muse?
No, not like Jason Muse. Mm. I wonder how he's doing. You think he's alive?
Yeah, he's alive.
We would have heard of
him. Oh, he's chilling. He's like a Twitch streamer now and shit.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
But the parallels with what they did with Kingpin, he's mayor of New York, and he's got a secret police force that goes around brutalizing people. It's very
no.
fucking... Yeah, it's like dead on, which is dope. So that's right. going on.
Cool.
Heck yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be right back to talk about a little film. Cool.
Yeah, stay in character.
Shh.
Come on.
Shh. Heal. Settle.
I have a deviated septum. Can you tell?
I'm pretty sure I do have one.
This is something that I think we've known about you forever.
Yeah. I didn't know this. It's nice to know that's what it was. I have the fucking the thing they advertise on Instagram with the magnets. The
little clippies.
Oh, I get those man. Too, yeah.
They're like,
I should bring that next time.
They go, this is level one. And he goes, level two.
You stop snoring?
I stop snoring and I fucking like, dude, I wear it like when I'm writing or doing homework. And I'm like, oh, I think so clearly. I'm not getting enough fucking oxygen through my nose. Yeah. I'm dying, bro.
I do snore a lot, so I'm
literally dying.
I actually like keep Courtney up because of how bad my snoring is, and so I do this thing. I found out like if you like stick your tongue out and just fall asleep with your tongue out, like the muscle, like it doesn't fall in the back of your throat.
You're not
so like there's nights where like I fall asleep with my tongue out.
I'm they got
like,
a thingy you can buy on Amazon.
I know, I saw that. I was like tempted, but I'm like, dude, that's
just better like that than biting your fucking tongue.
Yeah,
in the middle
I'm like,
of
I just, it looks like I'm going to bed with a binky, but I'm like, dude, I mean, like it is a tongue muscle thing. That's all. It just falls in the back of your throat.
It's basically what it does is it postures your jaw forward. That's generally.
And there are like tongue exercises you could do.
Or you could just stop being a fat fuck. Exactly. That's
literally the number one.
That's the next. The actual solution is stop really being a fat is. Fuck.
In lieu of that, you could get this stuff. You get
the magnets and stick your tongue out. Yeah. My the first doctor I ever worked for, he was a big sleep apnea guy and was like, if you're snoring, you're dying. Basically, like that's the whole deal because you're not, you know, not getting oxygen
for real. Then,
yeah,
makes sense, man.
And he was like, and his whole thing was like, yeah, we've got all kinds of treatment for it, or you could just stop being fat. And it was like, fuck, man, you can't just say that about me.
Can't I use the treatments on my way to not being fat? Or that just enable me?
Of course you can, but stop being fat is the ultimate
every
solution.
Google research, it's pretty much number one.
Yeah, stop being fat. Because it's this that gets you because it's all falling back. But anywho, we're going to talk about a film that is only slightly preferable to dying in your sleep from sleep apnea.
Yeah.
and
that is debatable.
It's a little film called Undertone, 2025's Undertone. It was just released in the theaters a couple few weeks ago. Directed and written by Ian Toisson, starring Nina Kitty, Adam DeMarco, Michel Duquet. And it's a movie about a couple of podcasters. And that's like about the most positive thing I have to say about it. Rhett, what'd you think?
I think that there are around almost 40 A24 horror films, and they
around almost 40. Yeah,
the horror movies,
just specifically A24 horror movies, and it's a much storied history in the last 15 years. You know, we got the Hereditary, we got The Witch, you got Saint Maud, you got help me out here. What else you got? You got fucking.
The Witch.
What you comes at night.
It comes at night. Matt Smith's favorite movie.
Eddington. Midsommar.
You got Midsommar. No one had ever seen anything like it except like four other folksy movies like that, like The Wicker Man. It was good.
Yeah.
You got what's the fucking Raka Raka ones? You got those two.
Talk to Me and Bring Her Back.
Yeah, we got a lot.
The list goes on and on.
And there's... One, this is at the bottom of those. this is at or near the bottom. The only one I've seen that's worse is The Front Room, the one with Brandy, which came out a couple years ago, which is fucking... I remember you liked it. Oh, you didn't like it. Okay, good. I thought I was misinterpreting.
Courtney was like, don't involve me in this bullshit.
Don't involve me in your bullshit. Yeah, the only one I've seen that's worse for an A24 horror film is The Front Room. And I mean, and I know that sounds harsh, and that probably won't be the consensus take. It'll probably be in the middle of most people's lists on this kind of thing. But I could not stand this fucking movie.
Really?
I could not stand this movie.
Oh, that's right. The Front Room was like Get Out for idiots.
Yeah. And when people are talking about again, like they use the word pretentious. People have gotten crazy with their vocabulary on the internet, and so everything's pretentious.
It's these Letterboxd people, man.
This film is pretentious.
Yeah.
Like, you are really fucking, like, you need to, like, calm down. And it's got some other films in its DNA a little bit, like, that have done it better. I mentioned stuff like Pontypool. I know that's not a podcast movie. All it did was like...
Oh, that movie was crazy.
Cool. It's crazy, but it's isolated. It's a radio thing, and we're gonna amplify things slowly over this confined environment, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
and it's going to get there. There was a couple others I thought of while watching this, which in and of itself is not like, cool, you wanted to... let's modernize this more, make it more contemporary. But gosh, dude, none of the dialogue... You'd mentioned the dialogue via text... And it's kind of important when your whole movie is two people talking. Basically
dialogue, yeah.
And I shouldn't say a whole movie. I know there's the craft of the sounds and all of that. And even that, dude, like, it seemed very, very forced and hokey to me.
That was the the thing that I thought... And are you, I'm sorry.
That's good for right now.
Oh, you finished?
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
Look, there is no time in which I'm having fun with this movie. And that is like right now, that is the thing that I need to be having, is just a tiny bit of fun in your movie. That's all I'm asking for. Even in Threads, I'm having fun, right? Because it's an enjoyable movie.
You're like, oh, look, she pissed herself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There is not a moment in this movie that I'm like, oh, this they're podcasting. This is pod racing now. It's fucked. I hate
this pod racing.
I fucking hate this movie. So the one thing that I was like, well, you know, at least people are saying that like the soundscape is unreal, and you know, the sound effects, and it really pulls you in. And I'm like, are we watching the same fucking movie?
Like, it's fucking Blowout.
Because like
De Palma or something.
Because what I don't understand is that people are like, yeah, once she puts the headphones on and you can't hear anything, I'm like, well, then what's the point? Because ultimately what we're hearing through the headphones is what she's hearing, and I don't give a fuck, and I can't really understand, and I can't really know what's happening outside of her headphones.
It's because, very solipsistic.
Because the universe that they've created is that it's all existing inside of her headphones. And if she's hearing anything, it's inside of her head. And it's the dementia talking from her mother. And it's a psychosis of her dealing with the stress of her mom dying and all this shit. And at the end of the movie, I'm sitting here wondering, I'm like, okay. So we've got two things going on. Either there was some very, very, like, deep emotional trauma that she's going for, and everything was in her head and none of it was supernatural. Or, and the worst option is, there was supernatural things going on and it makes it even more ass.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even like, I did not even care what was actually like, which one it was.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, if it was supernatural, then it's worse.
Yeah.
If they could have stuck the landing, at least with us sort of being able to figure out and kind of like compute it a little bit, that her, all of it was in her head and she was dealing with what she was dealing with internally. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's an interesting premise and we can talk about that.
Oh, I think that the premise, like most premises to me, like, and I say that because look, there's movies like, Moneyball, right? I don't give a fuck about baseball. I don't care about economics.
Oh, but that movie fucks.
The movie's fucking great. So you could take a premise and it's what you do with it, mm-hmm. and how it's how you make the film and how you pace it and how you structure it and everything and execute it. And this, so yeah, I have no problem with this premise, you know?
Oh, like, I don't either.
Yeah, and it's like, but what we've decided to do, the majority of it is her, not all of it, but probably like at least half of it, if not a little more, is her interacting with the other guy she does the podcast right. with. And the guy is so ridiculous, dude.
Like, well, speaking of other guy we do a podcast with.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking of that.
No, yeah. This movie, there are moments where it kind of seesaws where I'm like, okay, I kind of see the vision with this movie. I do like some of the technical aspects with how they shoot like the empty spaces, kind of like almost like this liminal stuff,
mm-hmm.
Where they're using, it's almost like an exercise of like using your imagination to kind of fill in the blanks because you're getting shots of these empty rooms and
the back rooms
which looks promising.
Good.
Yeah. But you're getting shots of like empty staircases and living rooms and you're hearing the audio and you're kind of like filling it in with your head, and I thought that was a really cool exercise, but it's just not enough to just carry the movie, because I did think that was some of the strongest moments, but that's like 2% of the film.
Well, and to sort of like continue in that same thread, it's like the film doesn't quite, it can't quite figure out what it wants to give to you, because there is a point where it shows you like a ghost, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what
do you mean?
There's when she's got a scene when she's getting in bed and she kind of pans over to the bathroom and you see like a figure.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm just.
Oh yeah, this movie doesn't have the ambiguity, like precise ambiguity of like Blair Witch Project. You know, this is like to the point where it's an excuse to kind of be a little lazy and overstuff the movie. Like, let's throw in like, because you're like, okay, look, now she's just like an unreliable narrator, so now you can make the movie like a complete
whatever the fuck you want
in the last 5 minutes and just figure it out yourself.
You know, those shots where the camera is sort of panning away from her and into another room and a light flicks off and then it pans back. And then it pans back and the light flicks back on. I'm just wondering, I'm like, what is, like, in a movie that is supposed to be all atmosphere, because let's face it, at the end of the day, that's what this is. It's all atmosphere.
It's the only thing carrying any of the tension. Yeah.
A light flickering on and off doesn't do it for me. And you know, I just, these conversations that these fucking idiots are having is so it's so cloying and so insipid, and I constantly
like the entire fucking runtime.
Yeah,
like it's not like, look, when they start trying to go into lore,
welcome to the Gozer podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah, they start going into lore about like the different, I forget, because it's been two weeks now.
It's been,
I could Google it, like her on the movie. The entity that, you know, demanded child sacrifice. And because the whole thing, it's like a spook show. It's like, let's get this spooky enough where by the end of it, when it blacks out to just all the sound, you're completely spooked by all the stuff, all the suggestion, right? That's the idea of it, right? But dude, like you're saying, the stuff to fucking, this dude, like the stuff, I'm going to fast forward to the bump. I'm gonna fast forward, and then like when people start calling in and they start saying, he's like, oh, that's awful, it's awful, and it's like, dude, this is really Dude, really bad. That's what I mean. This immediately jumps to the bottom of fucking A24's fucking filmography, man. You can't come back from that, man.
Not that I want to be like, look, I know what podcasting is because, you know, hey, we're here.
Well,
but
I think anybody who listens to podcasts enough will even know how fucking dumb how they're doing it.
The idea, you know? As a watcher of the movie who is also a podcaster and kind of understands what podcasting should feel like.
Pod racing.
That show that they're recording is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. It's 20 minutes of them like listening to bullshit.
Which they didn't even review. The guy didn't even like review the audio filings beforehand. He's like, I listened to the first two. We're good. Let's make it like a special episode. I'm like, you didn't even like review the rest of the shit?
And then, like, look, I know, look, this is no fucking award-winning thing we're doing here, right? But look, dude, we have some candid conversations every now and then. And this movie does not sound natural. Nothing that they say sounds natural in this. None of it sounds real. And that's, like, that's your biggest priority if you're going to do a film like this. The conversations need to sound natural and like they're happening in the moment. Mm-hmm. None of that happens, dude. Yeah. And then, like, because of that, too, any of the time when she goes to see her mom, and it's like, mama, none of that feels natural.
Yeah.
None of it feels emotional. None of it's, like, evoking the stuff it should.
I will say this. There are times when she is feeling frustrated with her mom that I kind of the movie is sort of grabbing me a little bit more. Because that's the important shit where she's feeling exhausted. She's feeling overwhelmed. She's feeling frustrated with having to take care of somebody who's
dying. That's the real horror. Yeah. I was like, oh, is this like a movie? But like the real horror is like having to take care of.
Yeah. You know? I mean, yes, I think I agree. Yeah. And you know, there's this moment in the movie where she leaves for a party. And I'm like, just like, I don't know. Like there's ways to go about having a life while still taking care of somebody who's dying, and this isn't it. Like, she's got an on-call nurse, which would be a very simple phone call to make sure that you can go to a party and not worry about your mother falling out of her bed.
So, I mean, I have less of an issue with that just because I think it's showing that it's almost an excuse for her not to be engaged in life because was she coming out of a bad breakup?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think the idea was that she was planning on leaving the dude, but then gets pregnant and then has to...
Oh, yeah. That was a whole side.
Because that was the whole... Then I started thinking of Unforgivable. Like,
got her pregnant! That was the whole point. That was the whole point of her going to that party. It was her boyfriend being like, hey, you know, come out to
that
the place.
That conversation didn't seem natural either. Like none of that, dude.
And also, like, she...
That's what it was. Yeah, her boyfriend had invited her to the party. That's right.
She has a pregnancy test, which takes half of a day, which is dumb as fuck to begin with.
Well, but yet you're cool with Alien Romulus where the gestation period is 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Fine. No. Stupid. I just want to go back to Romulus here. No, but okay. Yeah, dude.
Like, first off, not that I'm like, oh, I have children, so I know how this goes. But you go to the drugstore, you get an at home pregnancy test, then you freak out and go to the doctor.
I love how Jorge does this shit.
What do I do?
No, where you get like you're like this wouldn't happen like this.
It's so stupid.
When this movie, like,
it's so stupid.
Even if it had all of that right, it would still be horrible to me because nothing they say ever seems fucking like anything people would say.
Yeah,
like that guy again, like that. Oh, that's awful. Like, dude, you do a show that's about like horrific shit, and you're like acting like fucking. It's unbelievable.
Well, they got to put on characters.
I can't believe this.
Yeah, they're in character. They're in these, like, they do this, these characters, the whole skeptic and the believer thing, which is super lame, but I kind of believe
it. Like the Scully Mulder deal,
yeah,
right?
I'm sure some podcasters do it, but, like, I wanted to give credit, but I read this, like, Substack blogger that, like, highlighted every, like, cringe-ass podcaster thing they just did wrong. And
to an extent, I don't... I can kind of get on board with that, right? Because Well, I guess it used to be more so for me. The guy who was on the show that mm-hmm. was me, like, you know, 4 years ago is different than it is now. I used to have to kind of like hype myself up to be like an idiot for 2 hours, mm-hmm. Which is now I'm just not hyping myself up to be an idiot for 2 hours. I'm not sure quite what I'm doing anymore. But I will say that there was an amount of like, there's podcast me and real life me.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. No, we had a good conversation about that when we did the Perfect Blue episode with Matt.
Mm-hmm.
It brought up something about, like, for whatever, well, Perfect Blue deals with identity, right? And different versions of yourself. And no, I mean, when I'm watching the movie, it actually made me feel better because, like, yeah, that's just a character.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's not. I'm not accountable for anything I say on this show.
Well, and also, you know? Like, I do tend to, when I'm...
It is a bit of a bit.
I'm speaking to people in real fucking life, I tend to slip into, like, interview mode where I'm like, oh, like, what is your favorite movie? And why?
Yeah.
And, like, what'd you think about this one scene? And, like, what'd you think of the deconstruction? Oh, like, what about True Detective Season 1? What about that?
People have no fucking clue.
Yeah, so I understand, like, them putting on, like, a costume for the show, so to speak. But Jacob, I'm not discounting what you're saying.
Yeah, it's not like stay in character.
It's a dumb premise.
Yeah.
Well, no, because the way get back in character. Yeah. Like he says, like, dude, can you imagine? Like, no, because we'll be like, oh, I'm out of juice. You know, like we need to fucking, you know, do something. But it's just, again, it's such a forced thing because it's like, dude, you guys are just talk. It suggests that not only does the movie feel unnatural, but they want to make a podcast that feels unnatural. Yeah. Like,
and it's like a
get back in character. You don't need to be in a character to talk about this fucking thing you're reading. You know what I mean? You're just reading.
And it's like a 20-minute true crime podcast filmed recorded 5 minutes before he has to start work.
Well, yeah, man, and the podcast would suck. Like, that podcast would suck. I don't want to watch you fucking record this. Like, that's crazy. Like, Courtney's having to watch this. She's like, watch. It's like Undertone for her right now.
Yeah.
See, that at least was meta. That movie didn't even get meta, which I know is a tired trope at this point, but it's something.
Yeah, I just...
It's the best. It's so inventive.
It's just under 2 hours, right? Is that?
I think it feels more like an hour and a half. I want to say.
Hold on. Yeah, the dialogue though, man.
Oh, 133. So it feels like an eternity. It's 90 minutes and it feels fucking forever.
And they did, you know,
it's padded. It feels padded to get to 90 minutes.
There was that article and they even talked about it, even made a little skit joke about it on the Oscars about, you know, a lot of modern movies now. They do a pass through the script and they sometimes supposedly they're dumbing down scripts to appeal to an audience, to kind of capture their attention. And this really felt like that. It kind of had that pass through. Like the dialogue feels very, very dumbed down to the point where they're like, oh, we're on media file number 8. That means we have 2 left. And I'm like, okay, man, you don't have to count for me. I know, you know, how many there are. There's a lot of that dialogue in the movie.
When they start getting to, God, it's just.
Oh wait, another film. Well, go on.
When they start getting to the nursery sign, the nursery rhyme stuff, and this dumbass, that's
what I mean, dude, I'm forgetting all
this. And
stupidity.
This dumbass podcaster is like, what? Nursery rhymes have like dark meanings. What? And she's Googling it, and she's like, ring around the rosies about the bubonic plague? What?
It's bad, dude. it's fucking bad,
and dude. And Jack and Jill's about fucking somebody breaking their jaw? What? Fucking what, dude? No fucking way, dude. And then the whole thing with Abazu and, you know, he's the taker of children, or they're the taker of children, because I think, like, Abzu is genderless, I think. I don't fucking know.
Oh, you don't want to assume Abazu's gender.
Yeah.
And they had to do the whole playing something backwards. I was like, wow.
It's a female demon from Near Eastern and European folklore, believed to cause miscarriages and infant mortality out of envy.
Now this is where you say, "Oh, that's awful.
That's
awful.
As a parent, dude, that's awful, dude.
That would be so terrifying." Like that's how the show is. The movie. Like that's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
It's fucking it is.
So, yeah.
Go ahead.
So none of the aspects of like, let's say you, I don't know, like your guys' theater experience, but like if you guys were to watch it maybe at home or in theater, in an empty theater by yourself, like with just with the audio alone, would any of it kind of get under your skin and kind of creep you out?
Okay, like you haven't seen Skinamarink, right?
I have, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
I remember, like, he hasn't. I know that movie is a very, like, polarizing film. That, by myself, with headphones, is much, and it's not all about, like, sound design, but the atmosphere.
Okay.
And I know that the movie is, dude, there'll be, like, the fucking cameras on the floor for 10 minutes. I get it. I get the complaints. That's way more effective than this, because these people, again, there's two kids in that movie. They're not yammering. They're not saying stupid shit the whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, at least I get to sit with the nothingness and fill in the rest. There's not much, like, because the idea of this being suggestive, it feeds you everything. Like, like you said, it even repeats dumb shit. It's like Michael Bay trying to make, like,
a subtle horror film.
Like, stop telling me.
We could literally go on and on. Or at least I could. I mean, there's so many aspects of this for me. Fumi, what the fuck is going on with my mouth right now?
Mm.
All of it. The Catholicism, goofy as fuck. Oh, yeah. Her alcoholism, goofy as fuck.
Yeah, because they should keep showing pictures. And that's right. The stuff, all the trinkets around the house and the cross.
Yeah, the cross with the Mary with her mouth all stupid open and the fucking little skulls and the babies and shit. And Justin, her fucking podcast host, is like, no, was it her? Yeah, it was Justin. He goes, "You're not drinking again, are you?"
And meanwhile, oh my God.
And meanwhile, she's like pouring a drink and she's like, no. And he's like, "Good. Because remember what happened last time?" And she's like, yeah. "No, I'm good.
Like, that's not forced dialogue, right? Like,
remember what happened last time.
Oh, that's when the audience understands that she has a drinking
fuck
problem.
Fuck, man.
It's like, and again, like, I tend to speak from my experience in this movie, but like, or in movies in general, it's just like none of it. And to your point, Rhett, none of it ever feels natural. These conversations and the dialogue, and these situations where it's supposed to be a very grounded and very like this is a very focused film. Mm-hmm. It's anything but. It's all over the fucking place.
Yeah, that's another issue. And then. Besides like Pontypool and Blowout, which I
so many people had to make comparisons of Blowout, and that shit pissed me off, dude.
Well, no, because that's what it's going for.
I totally get it. Yeah,
as far as those things, well, not completely. It's not as ambitious, obviously, right? But the other thing that came up when you were mentioning they're mentioning what file they're on.
Yeah.
Number 8. This is number 9, and it's like it reminds me of Session 9.
Yeah.
You remember Session 9?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
That fuck we did it on the show.
Yep.
That movie is great.
Yeah.
And now this is an example to me where, like, it's a perfect example where even the recordings that the dude goes and finds and starts listening to, they gradually get more tense. It literally actually builds tension.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that's happening between the characters, you get to see it builds tension and escalates slowly. But when he's listening to the recordings sound more natural. It sounds like it's actually pretty unnerving.
The recordings, or like that's what I was telling you, like where you actually kind of freaked out by some of it. For me, some of the recordings actually kind of felt more authentic, you know?
In the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it was better than what they were saying.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
But nowhere near like fucking Session 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this movie, like, that's the difference between, like, you know, there's obvious comparison. People are like, this is the new Blair Witch. I'm like, no, Blair Witch had a very specific shooting style of, like, complete improvisation. And this movie, like, every bit of dialogue was completely scripted and forced, like you're saying. So all of it's lost. Like, the people don't talk like that in a podcast, you know, but you know, them filming
even
it
like
out
life.
In the woods. Yeah. And Blair Witch though, like none of it, there is no script. It's just ideas and it just feels way more authentic.
Not only that, I think the idea that there could be another Blair Witch, is just sort of laughable, I think, in general to me. Because like, again, we were literal children when Blair Witch came out. Retinae. Mm,
yeah.
And this was a pre-digital age movie where, you know, where you could go into that film kind of being like, is this
very true?
Is this like actual found footage, not fake found footage? Mm-hmm. The idea that any child under the age of like 10 would be fooled by this and into thinking that like, oh, the tapes were real. It's like, are you kidding me right now?
It's much different.
Are you like being super duper for real right now?
Because Blair Witch, no, you make a great point. Like there can be this generation's version of it, but like Blair Witch was a singular event because it was right before the internet really fucking hit its stride, right? It's like the found footage thing was, we thought it was real.
Yeah.
A couple weeks before it came out, because there was, and also it wasn't as easy to just, I couldn't just Google, is this real? There was no, it wasn't like that.
Just forums of just people like speculating, what was going on.
And then of course like an A24 logo in front of this movie doesn't like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting you mention it, because this new Faces of Death movie is very, I don't know if you read the synopsis. It's a a content moderator who's trying to determine which videos are real and which aren't.
I think it was a Variety article,
Because, and then AI is involved now. And so now with the introduction of AI, you've added like, now we can have our Blair Witch moment in a totally different fucking way.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's real.
I do think the idea of this new Faces of Death thing is the right direction to go. Because like,
one of the only.
I don't think anybody really wants to watch people die for real.
Well, because they can now.
And
you
so
you can literally just look it up on the internet.
Yeah, so there's got to be escapism from those sort of things, like because
what's scary is the not. Is it real? Right. I can't tell anymore.
Yeah,
that's scary. Right.
Like, or that we can go to Reddit and look up, you know, Ukraine war report
exactly
and see, you know, Russian troops being fucking blown to bits by a drone. Mm-hmm. Like if I want to seek that out, I can find it.
Yeah.
So the real thing isn't really palatable for me anymore. Yeah. I would much rather see a spoof on it that is done well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Where it comes at the topic from a new perspective, right? Because you're still going to address people's appetite for this kind of stuff. Because we are drawn to, you know, why does, like, if you're, there's a wreck on the freeway and everyone slows down to look at the wreck, you know, I shouldn't say everyone, but that's what's slowing traffic down. Like, a lot of the time the wreck is out of the way. Everyone's slowing down. And the thing is, most people will say, oh, I hope everyone's all right. But that's not what you're slowing down. You're slowing down to see if there's something to look at, which you don't usually see, right? Which is like some horrible shit. But people,
horrible,
and again, what?
Imaginings, if you will.
Some horrible imaginings. And the thing is, but yeah. What, did you edit that out?
I didn't edit anything. I just put a mark.
Okay. But yes, Undertone, how many stars out of 5?
I probably, quote unquote, enjoyed it more than you guys did, but like out of 5. It's 2 stars.
I remember you telling me I'll appreciate the technical stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, no, and I
think you're too distracted by all the other shit.
I want to appreciate the technical stuff. I would like to, but it's like, fuck, man.
It was really distracting.
Go be the sound designer on someone else's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would even say it's a 2. It's a 2 for me, but I feel like I enjoyed it far less than you.
Yeah. No, it's a 1.
Yeah.
It's a 1.
I'm probably closer to that,
because it's just, I'm sorry. No, it's really pretentious, to me.
I want to give it one more shot, and I want to watch it at home, alone, with, like, headphones, and there's certain movies that, like, work better like that in that environment, but I don't think it'll be
better. You know what, dude? I would have said that about a couple movies. This ain't it.
Yeah.
No, but that's good. No, I'm glad. I'm glad that you should do that, dude.
It's, you know, some
so
of
so
the,
she could be like,
I'd probably watch Tenet before
her headphones on. She's like, Mama.
Some of the early COVID movies that were like all done on a desktop, like on a monitor. Yeah, I'm in. But I mean, there's nothing about this movie that, like, to me is like, well, you got to really engage with it with headphones, because it's like, it's a close little movie.
I forgot a few things, which is fine because we're pressed for time. Always, well, we've spent enough time, rather. But something you should watch with headphones is Mercy, with Chris Pratt on Amazon.
Oh my god, dude! I started that shit.
Oh, I want to see that in 3D so bad.
I got to the point where Rebecca, what's her name?
Ferguson.
Yeah, she has no business being.
She's the AI judge, and she's like, you've got 40 minutes to fill.
You posted some clips,
dude. The movie delivered on bad movie. Like it is a zero. It is a straight
Chris Pratt
up.
Being like, oh, like
he is not the fucking guy to go to for dramatic acting.
No.
And again, like we've hated on Chris Pratt. We've had the conversation. I'm gonna have it one more. Like Guardians of the Galaxy's fine. He admits he plays a variation on the same character for most of his movies.
I've watched him for 3 movies in a row now.
Well, you're watching the fucking Jurassic World movies. Yeah. That's awful.
Yeah,
that's fucking terrible, man. But
the kids love it.
Is he even in the third one? No, they replaced him with ScarJo. That's right. He's not even in the third one.
But I'm watching this, and this is another one of the movies then. Where it's like War of the Worlds a bit, right? Yeah. Because a lot of it's taking place on the screens. And then I look it up. The guy who directed War of the Worlds produced this.
Like the Ice Cube one?
Yeah, he's on a fucking rampage.
Just like an Amazon movie?
He has to be stopped. He did that one too with Harold from Harold and Kumar. What's his name?
Oh, The Searching?
Yeah, he did that. That's why. So War of the Worlds, he was trying to like throw the gauntlet down. He's like, fuck yeah, I can do Searching, but I'm going to do War of the Worlds. Like modernize it. And it just like, now he's just.
I thought you meant the Tom Cruise War of the Worlds. And I'm like, what's your problem with that one?
No, that's the same.
That one's actually good.
The guy who directed our worst film of last year and the Razzie winner for worst film of the year. No surprises this year.
Yeah.
You know, is the producer for Mercy. And that's something. I kind of want to do just like a shitty movie podcast. I know that there's lots of those now, though.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah,
there's also horror podcasts.
I need to see that one with The Weekend, too, because he got nominated.
I still haven't seen it.
He's like, shut the fuck up. it's fucking crazy. Good.
And then Jenna Ortega's trying to like play it straight and act. Yeah. She's trying to like bring her A game to him saying that. That's fucked up. That's acting in and of itself, not to lap at him.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the Hoosier podcast for Undertone. Don't watch it.
Watch Underwater.
Don't watch Underwater.
Yeah.
And listen to Undertow instead. Easy.
As a fucking dork, yes, I kept thinking, I'm like, this title is not working for me.
Watch Underwater while you listen to Undertow.
Have you ever listened to Undertow all the way through?
As an album, begin to end, no.
Dude, if you want to get headphones, fuck watching this movie with headphones.
Watch Undertow.
Do your edibles.
Underwater with Undertow, dude. Do it.
Do your edibles in the dark and listen to Undertow, dude. It even starts with what sounds like a fucking bong rip. Yeah. And then, like, it has, like, the scariest shit. You have to wait, like, 20 or 30 minutes for the secret track to happen at the end.
Yeah.
And this guy tells a fucked up story, like, all, and you hear crickets. And then it starts this last track, which is fucking, and it has, the beat is, like, accentuated with shotgun blasts. Dude, it's for you, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, your homie right there is probably on that album.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, dude. Undertow is way better than Undertone.
Yes.
Agreed. All right. Well, that's the Goozer podcast for this episode. I don't know what number it is. We've given that up anymore. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Reed.
Shay!
I'm not going to worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.